Good morning. I was about to say, this might be a real short coffee break.
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh, this is a coffee break? Oh, I mistakenly thought it was a curry break.
Curry break? Well, is that what you're eating? Curry?
So goes my day. Well, what am I eating? It's butter chicken, but my vegan wife made it using margarine and cauliflower
instead
of butter and chicken. So I joke that this is margarine cauliflower, which doesn't have the same ring as butter chicken, but it is delicious.
You probably want to do the intro. You probably want to do the intro, Robbie.
People know that we're here for margarine and cauliflower.
We might as well get the formalities out of the way.
Yeah. All right. Well, the formalities are that this is the coffee break. It's a little thing that we do with our community, and you're welcome to join us. Just go to our website, category5.tv. The Zoom ID, just scroll down right on the homepage, and you'll find it. Just a little something for our community to be able to get together, and it's obviously pretty casual, and it's just a chance for us to hang out and think about other things, because that's what we need to do these days. It is the 13th of May, 2020. It's Wednesday. That means it's show day, and I am rushing to get ready, get out of here, because I'm at
my
office.
It's hump day!
It's Category 5 day. My favorite day of the week.
Nice. Yeah. This time I will try to make it. I'm not going to make any promises because you know something will happen, but I will try to make it. And heckle
You'll be there,
because that's what I like to do, don't you know? You know, because that's what I do.
I tell you what, VP9, I need more hecklers.
Oh, I can oblige, man. I can oblige.
25,000 subscribers on YouTube. There just is never enough heckling.
Oh, well, let me fix that for you. Let me fix that.
A little bit of sarcasm.
It wasn't for real? Oh, okay.
Oh,
well
sorry.
Done.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, just know, hey, no more heckling. Sorry, what were you saying there? Hey, guys.
I say that I got a parcel today from Hong Kong.
Oh, cool.
And that these are stamps that came with it.
I don't see your camera's not on, Peter. So you're saying that these are what came with it, but
stamps.
I was talking
about stamps earlier.
Oh, stamps!
Nice, colorful stamps on it. Yeah.
And have you got any? Oh, there you go.
Mm. Yeah.
Ooh,
they're quite nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good for a stamp collector. I used to collect stamps, but a long time ago. I don't know where it went.
I get a lot of cool stamps when people send me stuff.
Cool.
So
nice.
But I ordered a battery. See that battery there?
Oh, a couple LiPo.
It's a small 3.7 volt, 300 milliamp battery for a audio player. But it was not very good. But I ordered from China a 3,000 ampere hour battery at 3.7 volts. The problem was my audio player used to wipe them out. You used to have about half an hour of audio, then it used to go, you have to keep charging it. I bought a bigger one. The story about my wife bought a talking scales to make cakes and things. Normal batteries in it, and it used to eat them like dinner. It used to last for about 5 minutes on the scales and used to flatten them. So I pulled the same sort of thing, and I plugged in a 3.7 volt battery, and we never charged it yet. It's still going on there.
It came fully charged. I guess those LiPos hold a charge for a little while, but you got to be careful with those. They're pretty volatile.
Oh no, they are. The normal batteries are just eating them. You know, it just goes through like Smarties, I think. So I put an iPad on this battery on it. A friend of mine worked for the government in England. He's a civil servant, and they was for the military. I won't say any more about that. I went to school with him, and that some woman with a charger charged her iPhone up and left it on the bench all night. And suddenly, in the morning, there was the ambulances, fire brigade, bomb squads, a lot, came to his workplace. You remember, it's a military place thing. And they thought the people around the RA was ready to pull a bomb under it. And what they did, I think the battery blew up and blew a big hole in the bench.
No way. You said it was a cadmium, though.
It was a lithium battery.
It was lithium? Oh, okay. Yeah. That must have been a pretty big battery to blow a hole in the wall. So needless to say, the whole project of DIY UPS is probably not a good idea.
No, it was a
just wooden boxes with a couple of big terminals on them is not a good idea.
That's amazing. Oh my goodness. So I haven't made any single board computer cases out of paper lately.
Well, I went to see if my pine time. I went to see if my pine time had arrived. Mm-hmm. It has not arrived yet. I'm a little worried that it's lost in the mail, so mm-hmm. I may just have to order another one and give them a street address this time.
Let's give it some more time.
It won't hurt to have a spare if the second one arrives, and I'll have in case I blow up. In case I blow up the first one, you know.
No. It gives you the opportunity to blow up the first one.
Well, sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I checked. I did a quick search in my Gmail, and because I was curious, because you'd mentioned yours had shipped. Turns out, I did get an email a month and a week ago saying that it had shipped.
That's why I'm worried. Mine says it shipped, but I haven't got it yet. So
it's on a boat somewhere.
You think? I don't know. What I'm worried about is that a company like DHL or something is trying to ship it, and they don't ship to PO Box. So I don't know how they're going to get it to me. I'm a little worried about that.
Well, it's a race, because mine probably shipped around the same time. We certainly ordered ours pretty close together. So if I get mine and you still haven't got yours within a week, then I'd be concerned.
But yeah, all right.
I'd get too concerned until then. But it was coming from Shenzhen. Or some place in China, and it's on a boat somewhere. Like it says,
That's why it was good to hear Peter say, "Well, I ordered something from China, but it took 3 months or 5 months or whatever it was to get here." So we might be in the same
boat. Crazy. We are. This is the modern shipping from China.
Yes.
Not really all that reliable.
Well, you know, you get what you pay for, right? I mean,
the shipping was only $11.
Yeah.
You want the boat up about what watch you put the end of the coffee break? Did you see what I put at the end of the coffee break on Discord?
When was that? Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
What, yesterday?
I made a remark. I put the cartoon up and said that's what we should play at the end of the coffee break.
Oh, yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, Looney Tunes. Yeah,
yeah, I saw that. Oh boy. It's a quiet. It's a quiet day.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be a real short coffee break at this point. But there was something I was going to ask about. I think I guess it had to do with routers. I don't know.
Can I ask? How often? Oh, okay. You figured it out. Go ahead.
No. Ask your question.
Well, I was going to ask how, and this is for everyone watching too. How often do you go to category5.tv, the actual website? Pretty infrequently.
Yeah, probably once a week or so.
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, sorry, Robbie, but I don't visit it every day.
No. I understand that. But what's interesting about our model is most of our views come through Roku boxes, so they're not actually going to the website.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. I do the same.
So you're not actually going to the website, you're bringing it up on your TV.
Right. And the interesting thing too, by the way, Robbie, I don't know whether you ever looked at the Roku channel at all, because whenever I try to tune in live since you've moved to the new studio, It's very stuttery. It's not it's not a smooth playback. It used to be at the old studio, but it isn't now. And that's what I commented on this last week or so.
Is that I wonder what I broke?
Is that the GNOME label on your yogurt can, on your yogurt?
No, wouldn't that be nice?
It looks like the Go. Okay, not a problem.
It's brought to you by our local transit system, apparently.
Oh, how nice. Very good.
The Go Train. The reason I asked about the website.
Yes.
Oh, is he here? Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, he just showed up. Now he's walking away to go make some dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. About the website and some food for thought for everybody who's here. I got a chance last night to spend some time coding, which I don't get enough time to do my own coding on the website. But I did some improvements to the site. So now there's some pretty cool features up at the top. I added shop because I'm going to deprecate the old shopping system, which is a WooCommerce. Mm-hmm. I don't like using WordPress for any of our stuff. It's just too heavy. But so I've integrated it with the site. So when you click to shop, now when you're looking at a product, you can actually see all the videos that have to do with that product, or vice versa. When you're looking at a video, you'll see the product that was reviewed on that show. Nice. But there's also a feature button on the menu, and the feature button is going to have like our DIY NAS unit, the MikroTik. So when you click on MikroTik, you'll get all the videos that are just that MikroTik series. Yeah. And if I show something that you need to have in order to do something to do with the series, then it will be available for purchase there as well. So
I found
it's a really neat way to do it.
I did that keyword search as you suggested yesterday for went right to it. So I thought,
Algolia is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's very good. So, but I'm guessing you manually put those keywords in whenever you upload the video, right? So that it can be indexed on the website.
Well, I do, but the AI also goes through and anything that we say is indexed.
Seriously?
So if I say,
Fanny, thought you were joking. I thought you were joking yesterday. I thought you were pulling my leg.
Go to github.com/cat5tv/cat5tv_caption, and you'll see the AI output, which is so everything that we've ever said is typed out. Now it's not perfectly accurate. I noticed I looked at Robert's Crypto Corner this week, what the AI outputted, and because he's got a fairly thick accent, it had
it was like
welcome to the fuzzy corner. At the beginning, it get fuzzy from crypto?
I want to see how it handles Slighty Bart Fast.
All right, we'll find out. check tomorrow when it's run. It's cron job.
Can it handle me? That's a problem. Can it handle my voice?
I don't know if it will.
Probably not. Probably not very well, Peter.
I can't even handle your voice, Peter. And I'm smarter than most AIs.
So Robbie, I have a question about you. This came up in my mind when you tweeted about your machine that failed in the co-location center.
Oh yes.
Clearly, your co-location center is close to you in Barrie somewhere.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You don't have to say more than that. But how difficult was it and if you don't mind sharing, how expensive was it to set up a colo like that? I'm weighing up my pros and cons to see whether it's worth it for me. But I don't publish a lot, so I'm not sure it's worth it for me. And I'm just curious to see how you set it up, you know, how you found the colo center, that sort of stuff. Can you share about that or no?
Yeah, yeah. So I called a local internet service provider, and they have a server room, basically.
Oh, okay.
But the server room is accessible from their main office. So anyone who'd like to can rent space in the server room. So you get, you pay by how many you use in the rack.
Okay.
So this is, remember I mentioned I had that 3-4 U server sitting in my garage.
Sure. Yeah.
This was a leftover from that co-location. So, so I had bought a 3-4 U server and I paid, I think, $600 a month to have it in their rack. So that gave me $100 down on that server. And it just ran and it was in a climate controlled room that I had access to.
Mm-hmm.
So then several years later, somebody contacted me and offered to donate colocation facility. I have 1U at the colocation facility for free. So they actually donate that to me. So it was a no-brainer. Okay, I'm gonna turn off the server that I'm paying $600 a month to run.
Sure.
And switch to the. So I have 1U of space in the server rack. So I'm actually using this little what's called a Fitlet 2. So it's like a single board computer type.
Yes.
device. Yep. And it only uses 1U of space in the rack, but unfortunately it has a lot of single points of failure as well, but
right.
It's reliable.
Which is why that would be something. But so the first question is that server, the actual machine and the big bad internet, are there routers? Is there anything protecting you there, or are you expected to harden your server?
It's on its own IP.
Okay.
So it just passes through their firewall. It gets filtered from things like DDoS and they have attack mitigation on the network. But the server itself, so in order to get to the server, it goes through Cloudflare. So Cloudflare does all the DNS routing and takes care of attack mitigation and proxying. So when you're looking at the site on that server, you're not actually looking at the site on that server. You're looking at what Cloudflare is serving up through their cache servers. So so the communication between my server and the internet happens between my server and Cloudflare. So I thought we might have lost him. He was like holding very still. So I don't know how much of that answer he got. But he'll watch it back, I'm sure. Cloudflare is what does a lot of the protection. But then I have CSF LFD on the server as well. So if anyone passes through the Cloudflare service or points to, say, my IP address directly, then I have an added level of protection. And I don't play any games. It's like if you try to log into SSH once, you are banned. Your IP address is blocked. If you do a port scan once, you are blocked. So don't do those things. He's back.
Yay, I'm back.
I gave you a very comprehensive answer.
Okay, I appreciate that. I will do that.
We gave away some great prizes.
Solbu
was our winner. And
yay, good one, Solbu. You know, one time my internet seems to be flaky is during the coffee break. I don't understand why.
It must be the bandwidth that we're using.
It's possible.
We're routing it all through your home network.
Well, as well to work. So, you know, the connection's pretty heavily loaded at this point in time. So I'm not.
Is Zoom going through the VPN?
No. Okay. I don't put anything personal through the work VPN. No, not at all. But so remind me too about Pine Time. I have a question for. I've got some comments about the Pine Time, not Pine Time, the Pine Phone.
Oh yeah.
So remind me about that.
Okay. Hey BP9, reminder.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to tell us something about the Pine
Phone. Oh, I can't take you anywhere.
Don't leave
Robin.
Us on the edge of our seats like that.
Can't take you anywhere. All right. Okay. So my question. Well, my observations about the Pine Time. Remember, I was commenting that I was looking for a way to be able to manage contacts without having to call up, you know, email and calendar and contacts and all that.
I was looking at
building the a service that the dialer could call if it needed to in order to. Well, the feedback I got back from Bo and from the news group that he follows is that they use Evolution Data Server. So I thought, well, okay.
Yeah,
Yes. Yeah, so I thought, well, I'll just look at Evolution and see if it'll hook up to my CalDAV and CardDAV servers and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Bang. 10 minutes. It took 10 minutes for me to install it and make it work without. Now I can manage contacts and calendar without bringing up email, which, you know, I don't always want to bring up the whole suite, right? The whole Thunderbird suite. So I'm guessing the Pine phone probably will use Evolution to manage contacts and calendar. I don't know that I'll go that far with email with it, or, you know, I don't have any problem using it for email if it's IMAP. I want my email to always come down to the main machine, right?
So right, yeah.
That would be the plan for that.
That's cool.
And also, last thing about it is the repair to my washing machine. I want to talk about that real quick. Go ahead, Peter. No, yeah, let Peter go first.
I got a server. It's got commercial software on. It's Apple.
Yeah, that's not interesting. I'd rather talk about my washing machine.
you have a go, then me have a go. Is it possible?
Oh, you guys. Oh, Peter, I love you, man.
I'm trying to get the bloody words out here as well. Is it possible to take the software off, Robbie, and install something like a Ubuntu server on there or not?
On what?
It's called, it's a Napa driver. It's a Napa, it's S-Y-N.
Synology?
Yeah, that's a word, yeah.
No, you can't install Ubuntu on a Synology device. You'd have to have, like, QNAP you can install Linux on. Synology has locked their devices down so that you can't do third-party installation.
So you have to use what they got.
It's their firmware. It's a different approach they want.
Synology already runs. Are you sure it's a Synology box, Peter?
Synology box, yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's got written on it. I can read it.
Okay. And is it an actual NAS or is it a router?
It's a NAS.
So how many drives can you put in it?
I've got two in it at the moment.
It runs a flavor of Linux under the covers. But yeah. Robbie's right. You can't put anything else on it.
I don't like the software on it. I don't like it. So it's horrible.
That's the thing with those. And we've had that discussion in the past where it's like you're pretty tied down to what they include with it and what their updates bring in.
You have to decide if that's ecosystem, thank you.
Yeah.
That you want to be in, like the Apple ecosystem or the.
And that's exactly why I raised QNAP. Yep. That's why I say, like, QNAP, you could. QNAP, yes. You can plug a USB drive into it and boot it, and it will allow you to install Debian. Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But you lose a lot of the cool features, too, because they've done a really good job of adding, of making their devices work really well for NAS.
So. Well, Peter, if you don't want your Synology box anymore, I'll give you an address. You can mail it to me.
Yeah, I know of a Synology fanboy. I think he's here with us today.
And the hundreds of dollars.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, I thought you were looking to give it away. I mean, I'd be happy to apply.
I didn't.
Well done. It was worth a shot, right? It was worth a shot. Okay. Real quick, Robbie, before you shut us down, because in a minute you're going to shut us down, I know it.
I absolutely am. Yeah.
Yep. So that washing machine repair, the parts came in the mail. It was probably the simplest repair that I could have done. It took less than 30 minutes, and it's all back up and running. It was
fantastic.
this is why I like to see, you know, you saw it in my last time I talked about it. You saw the parts list, and I could see exactly how it all went together.
That's Sears list that you had. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what I love about them.
When I have my dryer has busted up, I just get on YouTube and I get, there's so many general contractors and folks like that that just do demonstrations on YouTube, and they're not even professional videos. It's just like he handed his cell phone to his kid, and the kid is filming while he fixes it, but he's explaining as he goes. And it was like,
such a simple repair. I didn't even need to look at YouTube. I could tell how it came together. And as soon as I took that cap off the top, I could see everything, you know, including the busted up disintegrator, which is what I could hear before I did the repair. So, I'm super happy with that.
Yeah, good feeling really when you fixed it yourself, too.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have somebody come and do it for you.
That saved me literally hundreds of dollars. Because these days
people are in demand right now, man.
These days repairmen won't come out they won't even come out to look at it unless you pay them like $200 or something.
You could buy that gap off for me. I said the only dollars you saved, you could save that, buy that nap off for me.
Well, sure. Well, I've already saved it
with all the money you saved.
Yeah.
And then you can use that money, Peter, to go buy a QNAP. See what goes around. It just it's the circle of life.
Yep, that's right, how it works.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, guys, I look forward to seeing you tonight because it's Wednesday and Category 5 is going to be on the air. Becca's going to be doing the news again this week, and I will be at the studio. I'm hoping I'll be in the actual Studio E. We'll see how things go before the show. I've got a lot of cabling to do, but I think most of the cable stuff has arrived. Like it's gotten to me now. I've just got to get it out of the boxes and run the cables and do everything else, and then connect everything and hope that it works. And it's going to be mad dash.
Real quick, have you been in touch with Sasha? Is she doing okay in the new location?
Off and on. I just kind of check in and see how she's doing and see if they're doing well. She's going to be setting up a small studio space up in their attic. So I've yet to see that. I've yet to, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is there adequate light? That's, you know, that's what comes to my mind. So I'm eager to see what she comes up with. And then we'll have our socially distant correspondent.
All right. Sounds good. Fantastic. Fantastic. Good news.
All right, guys. We'll have a great afternoon and we'll see you tonight. Bye-bye.
No worries. Take care. Bye. See ya.